Good afternoon. I hope translators will be able with my French, English, Kirundi, and what. I have been given this topic, cooperation between religion and politics for peace, respect for human rights, and good governance. And when I was preparing, I asked myself how to start. And I said, I have a good story, which is mine. When the war started in my country in 1993, I was 4 years. One of the stories which I will never forget, even if I was small, it was to hear my parents talking about our parish priest who was found with machete to give to people to go kill other people. From that moment, I think it really entered in my mind about what is happening. The person we see in the church, the priest, is the one who is being found with these things. And I remember sometimes after, we had attacks in our home area. And people who were attacking our home area were singing gospel songs while they were killing people. And from that moment, I kept asking myself, why? All with songs and what? People are killing each other. We are calling ourselves Christians. You know the tragedy of the genocide in Rwanda. You know what happened in Kenya, in DRC. All these are countries which call themselves a Christian majority countries. But I have also another nice story of how religion has kept people together. On 30th of April 1997 in Burundi, we had a minor seminary where they train, it kind of before they start training for priesthood. 40 young men were killed because they refused to separate for their ethnicity. A rebel movement arrived and said, Tutsi here, Hutus here. These are our ethnic groups. The guys refused. They said, we are just Burundians. In this school, we learned that we are Christian Burundians. If you're asking us to separate, we don't. Because they have been trained to go beyond their ethnicity. So that was the introduction to tell you that even if that religion has been seen as sometime encouraging for conflict, it is also driving people for peace. It can help, not just for peace, but also for development, to give also good examples for good governance. I like to listen to some of our brothers and sisters in the faith. One of the speech I like more is one of the letters of Martin Luther King when he was in jail in Birmingham. They accused him of supporting demonstrations and what. He said, I can't stay in my home, feel comfortable while there is injustice in the prison of Birmingham. I have to wake up because injustice somewhere is injustice everywhere. I cannot keep quiet. And he stood up. He said, the sin of this world is not about people who does bad things. It's the silence of good people who support and keep quiet just because they want a peace, order, not peace, order in the society, and they just keep quiet. With this, I asked myself, how can religion collaborate with politics? It's not easy, but I think the church in South Africa has given us two good framework. There are two good principles. One is critical solidarity. I don't say solidarity. It's critical solidarity. and another framework of subsidiarity. Critical solidarity, what does it mean? Just for solidarity. Churches, religions should not be enemies of states. And we shouldn't, as Christian, Muslim, or Buddhist, or feel like we are enemies of our states. This is not the relationship we should have. We should have, we serve the same people. The church and churches, religions, and states, they should feel that they have the same vocation, mission to serve people. Why is important the critical part? Because it allows the church not to feel, as Martin was saying, comfortable when there is injustice. You cannot keep quiet when things are going bad. But it also helps, at this stage, state to say something about religion. Because there are some religious movements which discriminate, which use religion's ideas to manipulate people. So there is, should be that kind of critical between them. If something goes wrong, we should tell each other the truth. Why I say subsidiarity? We were talking about all these things about Agenda 2063. The Agenda 2063 is a framework which is given to African countries. What should do the religions in this moment when you have already an agenda? Is to put their hands dirty, not just be talking, saying, oh, government didn't do that, didn't do this. Can religious leaders say, let's take the Agenda 2063 as another Bible? We want to put it in practice. Tell our people in our churches that this is important. I want to conclude with an example. I think people who follow news, you know what happened in DRC. In 2016, Democratic Republic of Congo, in 2016, President Kabila was supposed to step down. His mandate was finished. The Electoral Commission woke up and said, we don't have money to sustain election. So people were unhappy. The church, the bishop conference, conference of bishops stood up and said, okay, there is all this chaos, let's try to have a dialogue, a national dialogue. They tried, they reached an agreement, which was called Saint-Sylvester Agreement, which was saying in 2017, December 2017, the president should step down, they should have elections. July 2017, again, the Electoral Commission said no money, no elections. Didn't say when they were going to have election, didn't say anything. Now the bishop said, no, no, we cannot continue like this. Politicians were lost, and the bishop said, this is the right moment for the people to stand up and say no. They were threatened so much. When the demonstration started, in Africa we have the respect for bishops, for priests, for sisters. That was the end. They were beaten as other protesters. They beat them, they humiliated them, they attacked the cathedral, they insulted them, but the church said, we cannot take this. Something has to be done. And it was done. They were courageous, even though with torture and humiliation. Last year they had election, which went as it went. I don't want to comment on the result. But the good thing of everything, the churches came together and sent 40,000 observers. Everywhere in Congo there were observers. The Electoral Commission had its own papers, reports. The churches had their own reports. They were not matching. The bishop said, there is something wrong. We don't want to say it, but there is something wrong. And we believe that if the bishop were would, if they were not going to say this, things could have even gone more wrong in the worst situation. We have now at least a middle president, which the bishop said, okay, things went as they went, let's support him. And I think it's the right way. There is no need of confrontation, but it shows that something can be done. And in the African society where churches, mosques are still the only voice for people, I think if Europe and other partners want to support, they have to support religious leaders. Because they are the voice of people. They are the one who are still courageous to say what is going well and what is going wrong. Thank you.